How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Upgrade your kitchen today with Clearview Cabinetry. We offer a great selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft closed doors and drawers and with cabinet accessories to match your unique style. View our selection of Clearview Cabinetry on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
The Burt Show.
So, the old lady found some messages in my phone from another woman that was sexual in nature.
Oh.
And
Maurice Mitchell.
I was on my way to the doghouse. But what dog is that?
I think that was Mikey's dog, the one that's dying from congenital heart failure.
God.
That was Reggie.
Damn.
The spirit of Reggie just took over me.
Yeah, that's probably how I did sound as I was, in my mind, was trying to process how this could be possible and what she saw that I didn't. And it just didn't make sense to me because I'm like, this can't be a thing. But at the same time, I couldn't tell her she was wrong. I'm sure she read what she read.
I have so many questions, but I'm going to let you cook. Because first is, how'd she get your phone and why was she reading your messages?
Well, in her defense, she wasn't reading my messages. My phone, like all of the messages I get, you know, the notifications pop up. And a lot of the time I'll just have my phone sitting there in between us as we're working. So the phone was just next to her. And I saw her take the glance at it. And normally, like, you know, she'll look just to see a phone went off and then go back to what she's doing. But the glance was a little longer than normal. So I didn't think anything of it at first until I saw her face. And that's when I was like, wait a minute. And then I could see her entire body language change. And then she says, like, so who is this? And I forget the name she said, but I didn't recognize the name. So then I'm like, I don't know. And she's like, oh, you don't know? Then if you don't know her, then what is this about? She wants to do this, this, and this to you. So I'm like, wait, this got to be some kind of joke. Like, I'm like, somebody's clearly playing with me.
Like explicit?
Very explicit.
Were they your ChatGPT messages coming
up? No. I look, and it's coming from Instagram. So I'm like, okay, that's different too, because I definitely wouldn't be getting those kind of messages off on Instagram if I were getting those kind of messages off.
So it's not a text message that's coming in. It's notifications from Instagram that you got a DM.
From DMs. So I see it, and then I read the message first. And I was like, whoa, like that, she want to do some things, right? But then I'm like, I don't know this woman. How is this possible? So then I look at the name of the account, and all in that moment, it all made sense to me. And I had to figure out how I was going to explain this to her in a way where she wouldn't think I was lying, because I really wasn't lying. So as life would have it, boy, is the universe funny.
Your universe you're in.
Yeah, my universe is hilarious.
She got
actually
jokes.
So she's like looking at me like she's not even saying anything. She's just looking at me like, what kind of lie are you going to come up with to get out of this? And I was like, okay, this is not what it looks like. I can completely explain this. I went to my cousin, my little cousin, who's a few years younger than me. And I asked him for his help. I said, I need some help. He said, anything you need. I said, I need you to take over my in the moment Instagram page and just get some activity going, because I don't have the time to give it as much attention as it needs. So he enjoys doing things like that. So he was more than happy to do it. He's like, I got you. I'll take it over. I'll post stories. I'll post things. Don't worry about it. Cool. I didn't think anything of it. This was weeks ago. Somehow, some way, I don't know what he did, but like now when I go to the bottom right corner of my Instagram to click on a profile, you can see what profiles are also attached to yours.
Mm-hmm.
So normally it would just be myself and the In the Moment page. Now it's myself, the In the Moment page, and his page. So I don't know how he did that, but somehow it's all one now.
Is it because he logged in to your Instagram to use his, so it's saved on there?
I'm assuming so. And I don't think he realizes it as much as I didn't realize it at the time. So with my Instagram, I actually don't get notifications to my phone from my own Instagram because it would be too many.
Oh, yeah.
It's way too many.
I do not have my notifications on for Insta.
So it was already like, I already knew that was weird. Like, I don't get Instagrams for notification, but I guess he does. So somehow, some way, now all of his DMs are popping up as notifications on my phone.
Oh, and he's getting busy.
And he getting to it. I was like, whoa.
Now, is your lady believing this? Like, babe, it's not my account. It's my account.
No, I the only reason I think she did start to believe it is because she remembers when we went over giving him the Instagram, because we talk about all the things I'm going to do. So she did remember that.
Yeah.
And then so when she looks at the notification, it clearly does not say I'm Mo Mitch. It says his handle.
Okay.
So after I clicked on it, it went to his Instagram, and then it showed his. So immediately she's like, oh, my God, that's hilarious. You was about, boy, you, you was about to get it.
She's like, putting the earrings back in her ears. We back in. Yeah. Now that, you know, it's his fault because he enabled it. He enabled it somehow. So did you go through the DM? Did you read some of the DMs?
I might have looked at it. That DM or two. I haven't even told them yet. I want to see
how.
This thing is too good. I want to see what else I'm going to read.
Hey, The Bird Show.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. And when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
We knew it was going to be awkward. We just didn't know how awkward it was going to be with her being in the same wedding party as her ex-boyfriend, whom she had blocked, but unblocked so they could have communication about the wedding party. And then he tries to slide back into her life. So go ahead and break it down, Abby, what was leading up to this wedding this weekend with the texting tutor we did with Tara and her ex.
Yeah, so Tara's ex-boyfriend got unblocked and he immediately thought, so you're saying there's a chance. Mm-hmm. So I guess this guy was super clingy. They had been dating for a year and this guy needed to go. He could not take no for an answer. So Tara, being the strong, independent woman that she is, was like, you know, I'm just going to block him. Like, if he's going to keep blowing up my phone, if he can't take this breakup with grace, then I'm just going to get rid of this guy. So because they're in the same wedding party and they have to be in communication in the group chat, she was like, okay, I'm just going to unblock him. And then after the wedding, we'll go back to blocking status. So of course, all of his old texts end up going through. He notices it and he sees this as his way in to get back in good graces with Tara. So he ends up inviting her out to have a conversation about their relationship, and she immediately wanted to shut this down. So we helped her with a texting tutor to try and get rid of this man, and needless to say, we ended up having to block him again
because he called as we were in the middle of the texting tutor.
That's
he actually
right.
tried to call her and like speak to her. The audacity,
man, is not giving up.
All right, Tara, the wedding was this past weekend. You were going to be in the same room as him for many, many hours. How did it go?
Oh, my gosh. Let's just say he's been excommunicated pretty much from the friend group. I mean, he caused the ultimate scene at the wedding.
Oh, my God.
I can't say I'm surprised.
I know. I'm not surprised either.
Yeah. Yeah, it was bad. I mean, you know, free alcohol, unresolved feelings, not such a great mix. Mm-hmm. And also that I brought my new boyfriend, so that didn't help. But by the way, he's not dating a fellow bridesmaid.
You don't say.
Oh, yeah, I forgot he lied because we had Tara text him and be like, hey, by the way, I'm bringing my new man. And he's like, well, I have a new woman, too. And she also happens to be one of your friends in the bridal party. And that's no shock to me that he completely fibbed that up.
Oh, my gosh. It was not true at all. We had this whole, like, full debrief of everything. And he just unloaded while we were all just trying to get ready. It was like one of the worst days of my life. And when I didn't have to be around him, I managed to keep my distance as much as possible. I'd say the most talking we did was us just trying to get ready and, you know, taking photos was totally awkward. yeah, he was always coming next to me, and I just was getting, like, the heebie-jeebies. And, you know, I would just, like, politely walk away, like, smile, because I didn't want to cause a scene. Like, I didn't want to be the one to look crazy.
Of course not.
And, you know, and then at the reception, well, that's when things went off the wall. So, he grabbed the mic from the DJ at the end of the night and basically made an off-the-cuff speech.
Oh, you know, those are the best. The scheduled speeches aren't where it's at. It's them off-the-cuff, drunken speeches from people that have no business grabbing a mic. That's when the good stuff happens.
Everybody loves those.
Oh, yeah. It was the most cringeworthy thing you've ever seen. So he just was rambling on and on about love and torment and, like, all the things. He started to cry. And, yeah, like, not weep. I mean, like, just, oh, my God, he was crazy. And then at one point, like, the DJ grabbed the mic and started blasting some Hot to Go to try to erase the moment. And it was like, what? Like, is this going to make YouTube? Is that what's going to happen? Like, I don't know.
I don't know, Tara. I'm starting to be on your man's side here. Because if he's that passionate about you, I'm starting to think maybe you should just swing back around. This man loves you.
He's fighting for love.
He's fighting for you.
Oh, yeah. No? That's one person's passion is another person's crazy.
No, please. I could never be with him again. Literally, like, even those few moments I talked to him in the beginning of the day, it clicked to me instantly, and I was like, oh, my gosh, this is why I'm not with him. He's clingy. He's annoying.
Yeah.
He's clearly, a liar. So, mm-hmm. I mean, he was just, like, contradicting himself constantly, and I know he just hated the idea I brought my boyfriend there, and he's asking me if I think he looks good. Like, it was... Nice.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
So crazy.
How did your boyfriend handle the whole thing? Because I would find this very uncomfortable if I'm being brought into the situation where I already don't really know anybody, and now this man is, like, going off about love and knowing he's your ex.
No, girl, are you kidding me? This is the most entertaining wedding. Normally, if you're, like, the plus one of a bridal, like, somebody's in a bridal party, you are bored to tears. Like, you don't have, like, you're sitting there by yourself most of the time. No, we got some serious drama. This man put on a show within a show for him.
Yeah, you're right. My boyfriend laughed the entire time. Like, literally, he thought it was the funniest thing in the world. He was busting my chops the whole night. And at the end, when my ex was making the speech, he was looking at me basically the whole time. And my boyfriend was just, like, putting his arm around me and, like, trying to kiss my cheek and my neck, like, trying to piss off my ex. And it was just...
Did he mention you in the speech?
He's got a great sense of humor, so...
Did he mention you in the speech at all?
No, but, like, everybody in the room, like, that knows me knows, and literally he was staring at me the whole time. So, he didn't have to say my name. Let's just put it that way.
Got it.
All right. Yeah. Well, Tara, I'm glad you survived the weekend. I'm glad he's back, you know, back on Blocked, and I'm glad your friend saw him for who he is, so now maybe you won't ever have to run into him ever again.
And if he does run into you again, there's this thing called a restraining order. Mm-hmm. I would love to hook you up with some connections for that.
Or it's the universe showing you that that's your true love.
Either way.
Oh, God. Thank you guys for your help so much.
Thank you.
This was hard.
Well, thank you for the update, all right?
Sure. Thanks, guys.
All right, senior shout-outs. It is that time of year. It is graduation time, and we want you to show your seniors some love. So whether you're the parents of a senior graduating high school or graduating college, or you're just a really proud auntie, grandparent, you're a proud sibling, you're a proud friend, you name it, you can give your favorite senior a shout out. And we will play it here on The Burt Show. So you can call our voice line 404-954-1360, or you can download The Burt Show app. We have a really easy way for you to sit there and record a message and just zoop, send it right to us. And we just want to remind you guys that when you're doing these senior shout outs, make sure you mention their name, their city, and their school, because we want to give them the proper shout out. And if you need some more details, you can go to theburtshow.com.
Hey, The Burt Show.
This man swiped right on 2 million women in 5 years and only got one date. So I sent you guys the email of what the dude looks like. Okay. Now, it wasn't he who posted this on X, all right? It was somebody else. So a recent X post claimed that a Tinder user swiped right on 2 million women in 5 years, only got one date, and people have questions. So while the OP blamed the dating app, saying it made men like Hayden invisible with its monetization tactics, other pointed the finger at the Tinder user himself. So I'm going to read what Signal wrote on X with pictures of this dude who has the quintessential holding a fish. But still, that doesn't, like, he's a normal looking dude.
Yeah. Admittedly, when you said he only got one date, I'm like, oh, who's this like garden troll we're about to like stumble upon? But he looks like your kind of average Georgia boy, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah. All right. So Signal wrote on X, this dude swiped right 2 million times and got one date. He's not just some unlucky guy. He is the norm. Like, imagine the money he spent over 5 years. Probably a small fortune. This is obvious, but what's actually non-obvious is that his behavior unlocked an entirely new revenue stream for apps. Let me explain. Most people don't realize that one of the biggest revenue unlocks in dating apps was when they figured out how to subtly turn women from users into paying customers by leveraging guys like this who flood the system with likes. These dudes were already heavy paid users, thus monetized. When women get bombarded with likes, flattery attention, it triggers this shopping mentality. Men become products and women become discerning consumers. Women's standards shoot through the roof. Apps capitalize on this by introducing premium filters like height, etc., to help women weed out most dudes. Features like sending roses or boosting profiles fit perfectly into this dynamic. Over time, women start believing that paying will show them the top 2% of men, the most desirable. So they start subscribing too, convinced that a premium membership means premium matches. It's like shopping at Aritzia versus Zara. More expensive means more perceived quality. This is how dating apps monetized both sides at scale. Men desperately trying to be seen and women paying not to see them. It's a zero marginal cost product that doubled revenue just by making chaos profitable. Pretty incredible if you think about it.
I don't know. I'll be seeing a lot with men. I've been seeing a lot of men who look way worse than this guy on my Hinge and Bumble. So I don't know how accurate that is. But if they say that's their experience, that's their experience. But he looks like a normal dude to me. So, I mean, I think sometimes it's easy to get kind of lost in the sauce if there's nothing that stands out particularly about your profile. Like, if you're kind of the average dude with a giant fish in your profile, then, yeah, you just kind of blend in with the mix.
I do think there's truth in there, which is why I never believed in paying for dating sites, as we were talking about that earlier with Match.com. I just always feel like it's always going to benefit the actual app more than it's going to benefit the person. And I can see why maybe the percentages might have been off of him trying to get a date, but a million swipes in one date seems pretty...
2 million.
2 million swipes in one date seems crazy for pretty much almost anybody. I mean, what is that's a 1.7% chance? That seems like a lot.
Yeah, I feel like there's got to be some other kind of variable here because it didn't say he only got one match. It said he only got one date.
Correct.
So maybe he matched with, let's say... 50,000 out of the 2 million people he swiped right on. Can he carry a conversation? Can he flirt? Does this man have game? Like, I feel like there's other variables that maybe make him kind of an outlier, whereas maybe other guys aren't having that problem.
I mean, wouldn't the picture holding the fish get about 70% of women out of there, like, out the gate, probably? No.
At this point, like, I've seen so many dudes hold up their fish as if it's some kind of prize. It's going to make me go, oh my God, he can bring home a fish to me. Like, at this point, even though I don't personally find it an attractive trait, it's so common that it doesn't stand out to me.
Hey, The Bird Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bird Show's entertainment buzz.
Let me just say, if any one of you came to me and told me I needed to get an OnlyFans, I'd be a little worried that I'm about to get fired, but I would also be a little offended. So I'm wondering how Dakota Johnson is feeling about Pedro Pascal, her co-star from an upcoming A24 film that they're doing together, feels about him saying that She should make an OnlyFans.
OnlyFans is the place where people go to watch people do weird things. Are OnlyFans models hot? Are they different to regular models? Pedro Pascal told me that I should have an OnlyFans and that I could just like wiggle my toe and make money. Should I do that? I'm not the right person to ask for advice. Ugh.
That was courtesy of LUK. She's doing some, yeah, I don't know what the siren was.
Is she okay? Is everything all right?
Why do they need to call Bambalance?
They're like, get her out of there. He's trying to get her on OnlyFans. Someone save this woman. But yeah, I mean, I think if you're Dakota Johnson, you could post a photo of you smiling on OnlyFans, and because you're an A-list actress, like, of course you're going to make a ton of money off of it. But come on.
No, it sounds to me, I don't even think Pedro Pascal knows what OnlyFans is. It sounds like he was making a joke and now here we are. I bet he comes out and he says something that it was just a joke that didn't land.
I love Dakota Johnson. I actually just found out that, you know, her dad is Don Johnson and mom is Melanie Griffith. Her dad, not disowned, but cut her off financially after she refused to go to college. She got rejected from Juilliard and decided not to go to college. So he cut her off financially. So she had to struggle on her own and make auditions. And I just think that's such a cool taste of real person behavior. And so hearing her talk about OnlyFans, I would love to sit in that conversation between her and Pedro, because I wonder if like messages were mixed or signals, you know, were missed. But I feel like it would be the funniest, most driest humor conversation ever.
In a weird way, she kind of already started OnlyFans, because she starred in 50 Shades of Grey for 3 movies. Mm-hmm. So really, the wiggling of the toes is pretty tame compared to what we've seen her do.
Y'all correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think there's a way as a man to suggest that a woman should have an OnlyFans and it be received as a compliment, right?
Which is why I think, because Pedro, and like obviously I don't know Pedro, but I've seen plenty of interviews, and he's such a sweet, innocent individual that I think he said that very much in jest, and it was a joke that didn't land. I don't think he legitimately would suggest that Dakota Johnson does OnlyFans and wiggles a toe.
Or maybe he knows something we don't know about Dakota Johnson's feet. Maybe she has like the world's most perfectly shaped toes, and he's like, the world needs to see this, but not for free.
For free. Did I ever tell you? I don't think I've told you the story about how
the old man who paid for your feet?
No, that is not me.
That
was
not me.
I
forgot that an old man was going to pay to spit cheese on your feet.
Yeah. That
was a former Burr Show intern. That was not me. Did I go with an old man to New York? Yes, I did. But did he do anything with my feet? No, he did not. Did he do anything with the rest of my body? No, he did not. All right. So I was doing a press junket for the Fantastic Four, I think the movie is called. And is it Rooney Mara? I'm trying to remember which Mara.
Mara Rooney.
Kate Mara.
And Rooney Mara. Sorry, that's right.
Yeah, Kate Mara starred in it. And so we're doing this press junket. And like, and Michael B. Jordan is there. And all 4 of them are like sitting in a row. And you just walk into a room. And you sit in a chair, like a director's chair. And you just have like a press junket interview, right? So the Rock Station was that used to work for our company. The Rock Station was interviewing right before me. So one of the hosts from the Rock Station morning show was in there, and he wasn't sitting down. He was standing up, which is kind of like a domineering position to take if you think about it. But he wanted to stand, and they're like, whatever. And it was so awkward because he kept commenting on Kate Mara's feet. And because he was a dude that had a foot fetish. Okay, this was like well known that he had a foot fetish. So the way he goes into this interview with the Fantastic Four is hyper fixated on her feet and complimenting her feet. It made everybody so uncomfortable they stopped the interview and they kicked him out.
Wow. You're kidding.
And then I had to go in and follow that.
You got the first interview post foot fetish kick out?
Yes. We were all, and I'm like, I am so sorry. I know that guy. And I work with him, and I'm so sorry, but we don't work for the same station.
Do you feel like that made their energy better or worse for you?
It was was a tough putt.
Okay.
Getting it back. Yeah. But we you know what? We got it back and we had a good conversation and it was, you know, it was a decent interview. But that room when I walked in after the PR people shut it down. They were like, done, bye, you gotta leave. He was in there, I'm not kidding you guys, for maybe 30 seconds.
Oh my God.
I mean, because he did the foot thing like out the gate.
He couldn't wait to get his little foot fetish on.
Talking about her toes, and she was uncomfortable, y'all. It was so creepy. And he came out, and I just looked at him, and I was like, thanks a lot, bro. Appreciate you.
I know what I'm Googling during the break. All right, for more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
Hey, the Burt Show.
It's no secret our girl Cassie has been on the struggle bus for the past 3 years. But all the struggles in your life have brought up a bad habit that you would really like the listeners to help you out with.
Yeah, I noticed, and things lately too have been just such a pile on that I'm sinking back into old bad habits, and I'm going to go ahead and throw out sort of a content warning for disordered eating just in case you're dealing with that. You may want to check out or check back later. So I found myself doing things, and it started slow with like biting my nails, you know, and I used to be a nail biter. I stopped, and now I can't stop chewing at them because I'm like all on edge. And I'm trying to hold everything together during the day, but it's like at night when I'm able to like let go for a minute that things sort of start to slide. And I notice I'm starting to be hard on myself. I'm making more, I mean, Bert's brought it up as well, more, what is it, like not self-deferential, but self-deprecating, comments about myself. And I know that's because I'm feeling insecure on the inside about everything in life, like not necessarily about my appearance, but it's something that I start to do as a sort of a protection thing. Like if you make the joke first, then no one else can make it about you. And I can't handle that right now. And so I'm making the jokes first so I can get here's the punchline out of the way just in case anyone wants to make it. Because I also don't want to be a Debbie Downer. Like that's not fun for anybody. I don't really like when people are asking me how are you doing? Because I'm like, what do you really want to know? Because it's bleh. So I'll just either fake it and be like, it's fine. Or, you know, we can really get into it, but then we're going to be getting into the weeds. So I'm just trying to maintain this semblance of normalcy as I move through this season of life. But one thing I noticed, like when the year kicked off, I was doing so good. I was hitting the gym like 4 times a week. I was being active with the kids. I was eating really healthy, not 100%, but like definitely switched up a lot of stuff. And I lost about 15 pounds and I was feeling great. And it was, you know, part of it was because I want to be around longer for my kids. I have a big birthday coming up and my doc is like, you need to change some stuff or you're going on some meds. And the other part was like, hey, this is a really difficult season. And I know that working out, as much as annoying as it is, and eating healthier is going to make me feel better. And it does. And then I just started to backslide and the chips came a-calling. And it's like every night now I'm binge eating and it's a lot. And I don't know how to stop because the next day I'm like, I'm not going to do this anymore. I can stop this. And then I don't. And then I'm like, that's okay. We have tomorrow. And when I say binge eating, it's not like I'm eating 4 pizzas. And that is a real, real disorder. So I wouldn't put myself as having a binge eating disorder. And I don't want to be dismissive of an actual disease that many people are grappling with. But it's like an entire family-sized bag of Sour Patch Gummy Kids or a family-sized Kit Kat, a king-sized Kit Kat or whatever it is, chips that day. And I'm trying to sub in stuff like seaweed or carrots instead, but there's just something almost comforting about it. And it's like the physical, a lot of it is the tangible physical act of chewing. Like I'm not actually hungry. I don't really want to swallow. It's just the repetitiveness, and there's a weird comfort to be found in it. And it's something I used to struggle with as well, and I got away from it. So I'm sliding back into that, and it's so frustrating.
I bet.
Yeah, because I'm trying really hard, and I just want to catch a break, and I don't know how to stop it. And I feel like I can, and I feel like I should be able to very easily. And I'm annoyed because now my clothes look different. And I'm like, dang it, I just did all that work in the gym and now it's back to like square one. And I don't feel good. I don't feel good when I wake up the next morning. Like, you know, when you've had too much sugar the day before, you just wake up feeling kind of crappy and slow. And it's like, logically, I'm like, I need to do X, Y, and Z. And my mind agrees. Yeah, let's do X, Y, and Z. And then when push comes to shove, it's like some executive dysfunction or something where I'm like, does not compute. And I glitch out. I'm like, all right, time for another whatever bag of chips. And I don't know quite what to do to manage it. I could get back into the gym and I want to. It's just the schedule has been insane. I know that sounds like a cop-out. It's not. Not everyone has the same 24 hours. I hate that sentiment when someone's like, you have the same 24 hours in the day as Beyonce. Mm. She has nannies and a personal trainer and chefs, and good for her. I just don't have access to all that stuff right now. And so, or ever, honestly.
Not always, right now. Because you're manifesting it for the future.
It's going to happen. And there's nothing wrong with using those resources. I just don't have that. And so I don't know if there anyone listening has any tips for something that they did. Like, do I need to tie a string around my finger to look at to remind myself? But the problem is I'll see that string as the reminder and be like, it's been a long day. You deserve it, girl. Yeah.
All right. So I do, you know, and I know it's hard to give yourself grace because it's going to be cyclical because you're just going to beat yourself up and then that's going to put you in a bad place. And the reason why, you know, when you're in a bad place, that's when you want to binge eat. And so you're just going around and around and around. So I know you have done therapy before and I know you talked to like a food specialist and I don't want to call her a nutritionist, but what was her title?
God, I don't remember, but she was like a food therapist.
Yes, she was a food therapist. Do you recall any tools she gave you when you struggled with this before and what you implemented to help yourself that you could reach back down and try to like retrieve some of those tools?
Yeah, her name was great. And for those of the, I know people are going to DM, I believe her name was Margaret Schwenke. It was really about switching up the way I ate and what I ate that we got into sort of like early in the, and I did it this morning, actually, funny enough, like eating a salad with lots of seeds. I mean, there was fried chicken on it too, because it was from Chick-fil-A, but balance, that sort of stuff. And that's what I'm trying to get back to. And that's what I really started doing at the beginning of the year. Like, I know it sounds beans, but I was eating so many beans because you can make really good dishes with that. So it was heavy on the veggies, yada, 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 boring, 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 but it was working. But as time is slipping away from me and things are getting crowded and packed in my schedule, like, it's kind of like it feels like it's a house of cards. And when you've built the house of cards, you're like, amazing. And then one thing goes wrong and it all tumbles down. And I'm just having trouble rebuilding it because I'm like, God, it was so much effort. And if just one, you know, a couple or 3 weeks of crazy schedule could knock it all down, then it's not sustainable. And why bother? And I know that's a bad mental place to be at. Just don't know how to shake it.
This may sound stupid, but it was a really small change I made to help with trying to eating late night snacks or craving late night snacks. I drink water and brush my teeth. I promise you it works. Like, it's something about brushing your teeth that right after, and you drink the water and the hunger pains kind of go away. And it's something about just not wanting to eat right after you brush your teeth. And somebody told me that a while ago, and it actually worked for me.
Okay.
As somebody who's also really struggled with binge eating, I wish I had, like, the exact formula I could give you and be like, this is what helped me. But I think just, like, the biggest piece of advice I could give you as someone who really struggled with that is sometimes there is a deeper issue. And because you're really in the thick of your struggles right now, like, you're going through a lot. Like, you're going through, you're not just on the struggle bus. Like, at this point, it's not a bus. Like,
the struggle bus ran me over and now it's backing up is what it feels like.
You are underneath the struggle bus. And I think maybe just the biggest piece of advice I can give you is just, I know for me, when I was in the thick of it, I was trying to solve my problems by restricting, and then that would lead me into like a binge cycle. It would just be this constant pendulum. So maybe just focus on not necessarily thriving, but just surviving. Like, maybe a goal for you is just to, like, only binge once a week, or maybe binge every other day. And then slowly over time, those binging patterns will go away and you'll hopefully get to a point where, for me, I'm like, I can't even remember the last time I binged because it's been so long. But it also took me a really long time to get here.
That's a good point, because it's like every day, all day, I do what I consider pretty good. Like, sure, there's fried chicken, but it's a salad. It's not a fried chicken sandwich. Like, for me, it was all about balance. And so I'll be at the end of the day feeling great. And then it just, whoosh, blackslide. So maybe I just need to work on one day a week, trying not to do it.
All right, Burt Show listener Jill has some advice for you, Cassie. Jill, what would you like to impart on Cassie to help with her binge eating at night?
Hey, good morning. I can totally relate to a weight issue. And one of the things that has really helped me, and I know there's a stigma around this, but these weight loss drugs. So I had to start Mounjaro for other reasons. I was pre-diabetic, diabetic. But I'll tell you what it has done for me. It has changed my brain chemistry completely. So I'm not hungry. I don't think about food. And I actually feel like a thin person in my brain for the first time in my life. And I'm in my late 50s. So have you considered doing that?
You know, it's really funny you mentioned that, Jill, because that is something I've been considering lately and I'm going to talk to my doctor about. I think I just wanted to be able to try to give it a good old fashioned go at, for it first, like with working out and eating healthy, to then prove to myself, because I do, I have PCOS, which if you don't know, it's polycystic ovarian syndrome, and it makes losing weight impossible isn't the right word, but close to it. It's very difficult to shed weight. But I wanted to give it the good old college try first, so then I could be like, cool, I tried everything. I need assistance and help. And maybe it's just time to be like, I need some help because I just can't do it myself. And I don't know why that makes me feel like a failure, because anybody else tells me they're on GLP-1, I'm like, good for you. Like, you do what you got to do to get healthy. But for some reason, I hold myself to a different unattainable standard. And I'm sure there's something I need to unpack there in therapy. But all right, drugs it is.
When in doubt, always go with drugs. Thank you for sharing, though, because I know that's not easy to talk about. And that's a very vulnerable thing. And so I'm sure you're helping out a lot of people, because the phone lines are now lighting up with people who are in the same boat as you. So you're not alone. And we're also here to back you up.
Thank you. Well, we can get together and shoot each other up with some of your time.
Hey, The Bird Show.
Multiple inmates escaped from a New Orleans prison, and shocker, Cursed Cassie was there. Like, what are the odds?
Not even there. It's like the prison is just a couple of blocks from my sister's house.
Wow.
Yep. You're like, what are the odds that you are in the city where this huge prison break happens with multiple inmates in New Orleans?
We thought there was a lot of air traffic, and then we realized why. So we had it on, and luckily I was like, if they escape or they escaped, they're not sticking around. Like, they're trying, I'm sure they're trying to hightail it out of town, but definitely we were like, let's keep the doors locked.
All right, so Mode, give us an update on what's going on with the story and how many inmates are still at loose.
Well, initially they thought it was 11, and that's what they reported, but after they figured it out, it was actually 10 inmates, and this was Friday night around 10:30 p.m. where the corrections officer that was on the scene went to get some food, which I guess is normal around that time because the inmates are in for the night, and typically you would have no issues. However, this night, one of the inmates somehow discovered that in cell, I think it was cell 1006, that you can move the toilet a little bit. And once they did that, they discovered a hole. And the hole,
this is like real life Shawshank.
This is like real life Shawshank. They saw the hole, and the hole, if you look at it, it's like it's a hole in a wall. You can pretty much get one human through the hole easily, but there are still bars behind the wall where you would have to kind of squeeze your way through. And one of the inmates was able to do it. So the other 9 inmates saw this inmate do it and said, okay, I want to be free too. So they all followed behind. And then there's camera footage. You can see them actually getting free and running for the barbed wire, which at that point they brought blankets in order to put the blankets over the barbed wire to protect their bodies and to help them get over the fence. And one of them left a note on the wall that said, that was easy, LOL, or too easy, LOL.
So, like taunting the guards.
Exactly that. So they all end up getting away. There's footage of them running across what I believe they said is Interstate 11. And you can see them literally all just running on this highway to all try to get away. And at last time I checked, which was a few hours ago, they have only caught 3 of these inmates. So 7 of these inmates are still on the loose. They caught one just kind of walking around. He had on fresh clothes. He went and got a brand new fit. And he didn't change his hair or his appearance. So I don't know how free he really wanted to be, but they ended up catching him. They caught another one in someone's car, I believe. And I don't know how they caught the 3rd, but 7 are still on the loose.
Do we know what these guys were charged with? Like, are they really, really dangerous, or were they smaller crimes?
The crimes are, some of them are pretty big, actually. There's a wide range. Some are murder. Some are robbery. Some are just trespassing. But it's 10 armed and dangerous men that have escaped. They want everybody to know that these men are indeed dangerous.
And what's scary is there's also, I think it's an official theory, actually, that it may have been, they may have had help from the inside as well. So I think there was something about the toilet, like somebody pointed it out or moved the toilet for them. So they're thinking that although the inmates are unlikely to be wearing prison uniforms, they may have had help from one of the guards.
Wow.
This is like a, I mean, I've heard of prison breaks. Obviously, it's happened, but I don't remember a time when 10 inmates all escaped. And obviously, for them to have known to bring the blankets, this is something they might have had planned for a bit.
Well, you, of course.
Yeah.
Once you recognize that the toilet can be moved and you have like an escape hatch, essentially, you know, because you got nothing but time to kill
this
while you're
true.
In there.
Yeah.
So you might as well go ahead and try to like plot it out as well as possible. But the fact that this happened Friday night. Here it is Monday, and seven are still on the loose.
Seven is still on the loose. And it's scary because if you've ever watched that show, How I Got Away With It, I don't know if people are familiar with that show, but it kind of shows you like what inmates do if they ever do get a break out of prison. And a lot more inmates escape than you would probably think. And some of them actually stay out of prison for years, like
really?
Start families and lie to people about who they are. Like, so I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty sure they'll catch all of them, but it'll be interesting to see how long it takes.
Well, since we're already talking about New Orleans and you were there this past weekend, how was your sister's graduation?
It was great. My sister graduated from Tulane University this past weekend, along with like podcaster Alex Earle's sister, apparently.
Oh my gosh, Ashton Earle?
Yeah, Alex Earle was at Tulane graduation, but I think Ashton did undergrad.
Yeah.
My sister graduated from the Celia Weatherhead School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine. And it was really lovely ceremony, and Tulane knows how to do it right. So my sister got her PhD in tropical medicine. I can't even begin to tell you what her dissertation was on because I understood like the first half of the first sentence. I mean, the girl, she won an award from the school. This woman has been awarded by the Queen of England. She's had her work presented to like the Gates Foundation, Bill and Melinda Gates. She's worked with the Kingdom of Thailand. She's presented and helped like the Congo with it and Haiti with their stuff for malaria. So she's just incredible. But the way they do it is because it's in New Orleans, they have a second line. And that's like whenever you see videos of New Orleans, it's the people dancing through the streets with the umbrellas and the live band. So that's how everyone came in. All of like the undergrad, all of the public health graduates, whether it's PhD, master's, whatever, came in with their specially decorated umbrellas to a live jazz band, brass band, and did all the awards and announced all the names. And then we walked through the streets of New Orleans. They shut it down so that we could be part of this huge second line parade over to the Mardi Gras Costume Museum for the reception. And it was really, really cool weekend to see all these years of hard work, because she's been in the field in Africa. She was part of the Ebola response whenever Ebola broke out a few years ago on the ground in Africa. So like seeing all the work she's done over the years and the field research she's done and the data modeling, she's come up with like these new systems and software and coded all this stuff. And she is just an incredible woman, and I'm so proud of her. And to watch her walk across that stage, true Alyssa style, she had her robes on, she had the PhD hood looking regal, and then she had these sparkly like Betsy Johnson black and silver checkered boots that were just flashing with every step. Like, she did it with such style and grace, and I'm so proud of her. And we went back to Commander's Palace too, if you remember.
Oh.
Last time we had a little bit of an issue, and they could not have been nicer. I mean, like VIP treatment for her celebrating her graduation. So I got to thank them as well for making it so special. But it was a really good weekend.
It sounds like it. And the congratulations to your sister. And now you're already on the move again because we got a flight today. We are headed to L.A.
Yeah.
Cassie and I are on our way to Beverly Hills because the Gracie's Gala is tomorrow night. And I'm getting my Gracie's Award.
Nice.
And I'm going to have Cassie right by my side. So we'll be sure to catch you guys up on that. And Cassie and I will be broadcasting live from L.A. tomorrow morning on The Burt Show.
Hey, The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.